This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberrywithnoes.com.
Everclear Channel Communications. Listen or else.
Dear Cthulhu, well, it's that time of year again where you look into your Necronomicon and see which followers have been naughty and which followers have been nice. As I've been extra good this year, here is my list of presents I want from you. I would tell you in person, but our mall is totally not politically correct, and only has a Santa Claus. A 10-speed. Kill Tommy Stevens. G.I. Joes. Invulnerability. Legos. And a kid brother I can play with. My last one broke. I long to feel the embrace of your dark tentacles. Billy Sawyer, age 10.
The Un Radio Show contains language that is deemed inappropriate for younger listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Are we rolling? Good. Good playing, Mandy. And so this is Christmas. And what have I done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas, we've killed by the ton, the near and the dear ones, the old and the young. A very merry Christmas, and a happy new year. Trust George and I to take away your fear. And so this is Christmas to all in Iraq. For the soldiers that lie there, the angels will hark. And so Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Trust George and I. We'll take away your fear. And so happy Christmas to all that have died. You know, I really didn't mean it. It's just that I lied. A very merry Christmas and a happy new year. Please trust George and I. We'll take away your fear. So this is Christmas, and what have labor done?
We're not leaving.
Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so happy Christmas, it's time for me to leave.
We're not leaving.
A weary PM
you
asks you to believe me. So this is Christmas, and what have labor done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so happy Christmas, it's time for me to leave. A weary PM, I ask you to believe. Very merry Christmas. Every little town. But please don't worry. Soon you'll have Gordon Brown. The war's not over, though I know you want it to end now. That was a party political broadcast from the Labour Party.
On Radio Show.
Now a word from our sponsor, PlayStation 3. And for an extra special treat, we've got ace reporter Will Ross here to chat with the jolly old elf himself, Saint Nick, about the PlayStation 3 shortage. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here on the floor of Santa's factory.
Workshop.
Workshop? Okay. Santa's workshop here, and I can tell you... Wait. Why workshop and not factory?
Oh,
Well, there are thousands of OSHA regulations governing the safety of factories, Will. Workshops? Not so much.
Oh. Well, good, I think. We're here on the floor of Santa's workshop.
Santa can do whatever he wants in a workshop. Watch this. Hey, Squeaker, come over here.
Yes, Santa?
You're fired.
But Santa, the missus, she's got Squeaker Jr. on the way.
Oh, Squeaker, I had totally forgotten. She's fired, too. Ho, 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 ho.
You're firing an elf 2 weeks before Christmas? That's a little crummy.
No, Will. Jeez, give me some credit.
Okay, I was wondering, because it was a little cold-hearted.
I'm going to hire them both back at entry-level wages. Learn that little trick from Boeing.
Okay, while we're on the topic, the elves are free to leave, right? I mean, I've never seen an elf working at Denny's or anything.
My elves are not free to leave. They're elves. They stay at the North Pole.
Well, that's not right.
What do you mean, Will? Thousands of famous Americans had elves. Why, Thomas Jefferson even had elves.
Okay, those were slaves, Santa.
Potato, potato.
Okay, never mind. Happy things. Happy things. Okay, I know. Are you making enough PlayStation 3s to get out to all the good little boys and girls this year?
Santa did the math, and he figures 300,000 ought to serve the global market quite nicely.
300,000? That won't be enough. Although I suppose they could just get a Nintendo Wii to hold them over.
Who the heck wants a Wii?
What's wrong with the Wii? I want a Wii.
I thought you looked a little light in the loafers there. And here I thought you were as masculine as Tom Cruise.
What?
Nothing.
Okay, there's something funny going on here. No one on Earth would call Tom Cruise masculine.
There's nothing funny going on here. All the good little boys and girls will also be receiving a copy of my... of a great book called Dianetics. And in this book, they can learn to control their body stations, and...
Is that a mask?
No, it's not a mask. Hey, don't touch that. Hey, stop it!
L. Ron Hubbard!
But why?
Well, once adults learned that the whole basis of my religion was aliens H-bombing other aliens inside volcanoes, they stopped taking my personality tests. It was too crazy even for celebrities to believe. I needed a way to get Scientology into the hands of people gullible enough to believe anything.
The Kansas Board of Education?
No, you idiot. Children.
Oh.
So I kidnapped Santa, sabotaged the factories that produce PS3s, and instead planned to give every child in the world an e-meter and a copy of Dianetics. And I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling.
Haven't you done enough? You also got to rip off Scooby-Doo?
Well, it doesn't matter, because you'll never find Santa.
We found Santa.
They found Santa.
He was locked in a spare bathroom.
Nice job, Houdini.
Oh, shut up.
Take him away, boys.
I'll be back, and next time I'll be OT level 12. Oh, Will, you've saved Christmas.
Aw, thanks, Santa.
Now everyone, get writing. We've got 10 million IOU 1 PlayStation 3 coupons to write for stockings all over the world. It might even be March before every boy and girl who wants one gets theirs.
Or tell Mommy and Daddy get their tax refund check for some boys and girls.
Exactly. But it's important to be patient.
But I suppose their parents could just get them a Nintendo Wii.
You just don't get it. And Will, what would you like for Christmas?
Well, Santa, I'd kind of like everyone in the world to put down their guns and just spend a season getting along.
That's a pretty tall order, Will. How about a brand new microphone?
Well, that works too.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
PlayStation. Get ready for another edition of Young Radio Show. We are now on the air.
Sing it.
that was Twisted Sister off the PodSafe Music Network with their rendition of Oh Come All Ye Faithful. And welcome to episode number 42 of The End Radio Show, our Christmas special. And I'm Travis Goss.
I'm Terry Strom.
How you doing, Terry?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate.
Yeah.
And as long as you're celebrating something.
Yeah. Or if you're an OC fan, Merry Kwanzaa, whatever is pronounced on that damn show. Whatever, I don't watch that shit.
That's... All right, I don't know what you're talking about, so there you go.
Well, from what I hear, on the OC, they have a thing where they actually, I forgot how to describe it. They try to make Christmas very special on the OC, so they try to blend all the holidays into one, and they got this whacked out name for it.
Hakwanmas or something like that?
Something like that. Yada-da. Whatever.
It's okay.
It's a tongue twister, and I can't even say it. But anyways, this is basically our Christmas special. We're going to have a very kind of a Christmassy theme for everybody. And you probably noticed with the all of you people out there listening to us on iTunes, you probably saw something at the bottom of the screen, and that's my house with all the decorations.
And I was looking at this, Travis, and I think it is really awesome. My particular favorite part, though, is all the teeny tiny lights going along your rooftop.
You like that?
I do like that.
Yeah, it is nice.
I think you should have had more lights on the... you got this little gingerbread train?
Uh-huh.
You can hardly see that. It'd be nice if that was lit up a bit.
Yeah. I mean, it would have helped if we had some snow on the ground. You know, it kind of helped illuminate the whole picture, but... You know, you take what
you get. Wait, this morning, there was snow in Vegas.
I can't believe it.
We get snow.
I just figure since it's the desert, I mean...
Yes, but it's a desert at 2,500 feet.
Oh. Okay.
We are a high desert. We are surrounded completely by mountains.
I see.
So, outer desert, it actually has vegetation, mostly brush.
Okay.
But it is a high desert, and actually by this afternoon, by the time I got out of bed this morning for work, the snow is already gone off the ground. We're lucky if it lasts 10 or 15 minutes on the ground.
Okay.
But the snow was still covering the mountains on all the sides of the city, and it was beautiful to see, really beautiful. And I'm sure at Mount Charleston Ski Resort, they're quite happy.
Well, that's good. Bless you, Brent. My cat just sneezed, and he just pounced on a bag. I can see he's really hyper, so this is going to be a fun show. I'm going to have to deal with two pussies tonight. One that I'm talking to, and one that's sneezing.
Okay, if mine sneezed, that would be gross.
Okay. Well, for that, you probably have to go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, you're probably hearing a lot of jingle jangling. It's my cat running around, and he's going to get one heck of a swat on his backside if he doesn't calm down.
I think we should have a stunning rendition of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
No. I object.
All right.
Bless you again, Brent.
How about Merry Fucking Christmas from South Park?
Oh, yes. I'd love to hear that.
I actually have that on CD.
Yeah.
It's actually quite insulting to me, even though I'm not any of the religions mentioned. That means it's always a good song. It insults everybody equally.
There you go.
But seriously, I do have it on CD, and I'm looking for it now.
Yeah.
I got worse than that. It's got a whole bunch of very insulting Christmas songs on it.
Well, yeah, because it's South Park. They don't try to insult. They try to educate.
Oh, yes, they do. Oh, no, they don't. They insult.
Well, they gotta insult everybody because, well, that's just how they, that's just what they do. Ow.
Okay, let's see if I can get it in here. I'm getting it in the hole now.
Oh, are you now?
I am. Let me push the button.
Oh, push it for me. Oh, yeah. You know I like it when you do that.
All right, let's see what I got here.
Christmas in the Middle East.
So you all set for the holidays?
No Santa Claus. They have different religious beliefs. Okay. They believe in Muhammad and not in our holiday. And so every December I go to the Middle East and say, hey there, Mr. Muslim. Merry fucking Christmas. Put down that book, the Quran, and here's some holiday wishes. In case you haven't noticed, it's Jesus' birthday. So get off your heathen Muslim ass and fucking celebrate.
Okay, I'll store that.
Oh, jeez. That is a good song.
And I don't want to really insult everybody, so we'll just, you know, brief interlude that.
I actually got a Christmas playlist. It's on my iTunes, and it's got, like, the non-traditional stuff. It's just kind of, you know, there's some good songs and some comedy songs. You know, just the good things.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, Terry, but I feel like some news.
Okay.
Okay. And I got 5 news stories here, and they're all about Christmas, so let's just dive right into it.
Okay.
Judge makes 23 spend Christmas in jail. In Columbus, Ohio, 23 people who took plea agreements to avoid prison time in Franklin County will get a taste of life behind bars this Christmas by spending the holiday in jail. As part of their sentences from Common Pleas Judge Michael Holbrook, the men and woman agreed to spend 4 days, including Christmas, in jail each year they are on probation. The judge even has a name for it, a, quote, Holbrook holiday. Holbrook says he got the idea from a federal prison program that makes convicts on probation serve national holidays behind bars. I wanted to send a message to those who were borderline and may have a chance to go to prison. If they're not Christian in nature, I can use some other day, like their birthday. It's a reminder of where they could be going, if nothing else. People given the deal must report to jail on December 22nd and will be released on December 26th. Those who follow the rules can get out of going back to jail for another Christmas, while those who break them can be sent to prison again, said Brian Stein, a senior probation officer. He gives us the discretion to decide. It's an alternative to prison, so I've never had anybody really complain.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it is, too. It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's worse than Thanksgiving or Christmas or some big family holiday behind bars? I mean, that's going to really drive home the point, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Okay. Next story, as it loads up from Yahoo, from news.yahoo.com. Ho, 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 the bazaar abounds at Christmas. From London, chubby British children are reaching for fruit and vegetables this Christmas, while Japanese shoppers are being tempted by the ultimate treat, a Christmas cake decorated with diamonds. As for Father Christmas, he is gallivanting?
Gallivanting.
Yeah, okay, I was right, because that's the first time I've ever read and seen, or first time I've read that word. I didn't even know something like that existed. Anyways, he is gallivanting happily in cyberspace, but faces a tough time down on Earth as children tug his beard, sneeze all over him, and wet his lap. Cash tills may be ringing on the internet, but in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, festive cheer is short supply. With a week to go, Christmas offers its usual diet of weird and wonderful tales around the world, and 2006 is no exception. With bad diet and sloth pushing up obesity rates in England, a self-help group of chubby little Londoners is getting together for weekly classes on nutrition to help them resist the culinary excesses of Christmas. In Osaka, opulence reigns supreme. A department store has found a way to have your cake and eat it too by offering 100 million yen, which is 435,000 pounds. I have no idea what it is for.
That's about $8,000. $800,000.
Okay.
You said 400 and something thousand pound?
435,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's just over $800,000.
Okay. Anyways, it's a cake festooned with 100 diamonds. The pâtissière, okay. Is that right? Yes. The pâtissière who made it said he felt that chocolate and diamonds are what a woman would most want to receive. Santa and his reindeer certainly seem to be having a hectic time on the information superhighway. Internet bloggers have given voice to a host of Santas who do everything from rail against tacky Christmas lights to confess their fondness for non-fat almond lattes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
If I was going to do any confessing to Santa Claus, it would have nothing to do with coffee.
Santa baby, I love you, Dita.
You bet. You do know why Santa's so jolly, don't you? I think I've said this already on here.
Go ahead and say it again.
He knows where all the naughty girls live.
So, have you been making Santa very jolly this year?
Ho, ho, ho.
Baby. Sure wish I could unwrap you underneath my tree this year.
Anyway, going on.
Next story. Cops put two on ice after a frosty stabbing. In Cincinnati, two Christmas Grinches were arrested Monday, accused of stabbing a 12-foot-tall inflatable frosty snowman with a screwdriver. The Hamilton County Sheriff's Office said two 18-year-olds were charged with criminal damaging, and the investigation continues to snowball. The assault on Frosty was caught on tape when homeowner Matt Williquette, actually I think it's Williquette, set up a motion-sensitive video camera in a tree in his yard because a snowman had fallen victim to two earlier attacks. The inflatable, the biggest figure in his Christmas display in suburban Colerain Township, was punctured with a screwdriver Sunday night for the third time. Willikit had used white masking tape to patch over Frosty the first two times. The question I have is, why me and why Frosty? Willikit asked. I had more decorations to put out there, but with Frosty going down, I wasn't going to chance it. Police said they arrested one man at his home, and the second turned himself in. At one point Monday, the sheriff's office, who investigated the township, the Colerain Township Police Department, said in a statement, "The investigation continues to snowball."
Again.
That's what it says. In a separate act of holiday vandalism, a 15-year-old boy and a 17-year-old boy were charged Monday with criminal damaging. Authorities accused the two of taking a decorative candy cane from another Colerain Township yard earlier Saturday morning and smashing it on the owner's vehicle, causing $1,000 in damage. And, of course, the investigation continues to snowball.
That is getting old.
Oh, jeez, that's too funny.
It continues to snowball. Yeah, so when they go to Carter, they haven't got a snowball's chance in hell.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Actually, for me, be like, oh. All right, next story. Woman accused in Christmas card pot plot. Police arrested a woman after finding marijuana in a Christmas card she tried to give her jailed boyfriend. Don E. Smith, 44, of Grove, Oklahoma, was arrested in connection with the incident at the Delaware County Jail. She's accused of trying to distribute a controlled substance and bringing a controlled substance into a jail. Her boyfriend, Stephen McRae Jones, 26, pleaded guilty on November 1st to charges that he repeatedly rammed Smith's car and took a swing at the arresting officer. He is awaiting transport to the Department of Corrections, where he will serve 4 years.
Well, that was brilliant. Let's repeatedly ram a car and then take a swing at a police officer like you're not going down already.
Yeah, and then have your girlfriend get busted for trying to smuggle in some weed inside of a Christmas card.
Like they're not going to check? I mean, come on. Be a little more imaginative.
At least make
out a candy cane.
Well, I was going to say, why don't you make a special batch of brownies, but whatever.
That wouldn't make it through either. But you know what? You could hollow out a candy cane, couldn't you? Because you can get those great big huge candy cane sticks now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not too bad of an idea.
I'm sure they would x-ray it, but I don't think it would show up if you packed it solid.
Well, that's true.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Yes, it is.
Or you could get a little tiny artificial tree with little ornaments on it and have each ornament pull off the end and fill it up. And that'd probably get found, but, you know.
Yeah. Moral of the story is, ladies and gentlemen, don't put weed inside of a Christmas card if you're going to be sending it to your loved ones who are in prison. That's just stupid.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stupid people. And speaking of stupid...
Do you have another dumb criminal story?
Well, I got a bunch of them out too as well, but I thought, well, first, why don't we finish the whatchamajiggers here?
The whatchamajiggers, okay.
News thingies. Yeah, part of those.
These wonderful stories I found on the computer interweb. Anyways, woman tells cop she bought bad crack. Now, this isn't really a Christmas story, but I just had to read this. In Hawthorne, Florida, a North Carolina woman was arrested after complaining to a police officer that a crack cocaine that she had purchased wasn't very good. Eloise D. Reeves, 50, approached... 50? Holy fuck. Approached a Putnam County Sheriff's deputy at a convenience store Friday, telling him that another man had sold her bad crack that contained wax and cocaine. She pulled an alleged crack rock out of her mouth and placed it on the deputy's car for inspection.
Oh my god, that is so gross.
The deputy told Reeves that she would be arrested if the crack tested positive for cocaine. She was charged with possession of cocaine and bonded out for $1,504.
Oh my god.
Okay. That is a dumb criminal story. That's fucking awesome. Oh my god.
Oh my god, that is really dumb.
Yes. Oh, dumb was so damn funny.
Well, alright, speaking of dumb.
Okay.
A bank robber in Bumpus. That's right, you heard it. Bumpus, Tennessee. B-U-M-P-U-S, Bumpus.
Yeah.
Handed a teller the following note. Watch out, this is a robbery. I have HIV and Uzi, O-O-Z-Y, trained, T-R-A-N-E-D, on your butt. Only one T. Dump B in a sack, this one. No dye, D-I-E, packets with two Ks. Or other tricks with no C. Or I will tear, T-A-R-E, you a new navel, as in navel orange. No quarter, K-W-A-R-T-E-R, with red stuff on them, too. Dr. Korean V.B. Smike of the Ohio Valley Educational Council says such notes are, lamentably, the rule. Right across the board, we see poor pre-writing skills, problems with omissions, tense agreement, spelling, and clarity, he moaned. Smike believes the quality of robber notes could be improved if criminals could be taught to plan before writing. We need to stress organization. Make an outline of your robbery note before you write it, he said. Some of the notes get totally sidetracked on issues like the make, model, and caliber of the gun, number of bullets, etc., until one loses sight of the main idea, the robbery. Okay, no. What I was quoting here is two stupid issues. Number one, okay, the robber can't write. Number two, why are we trying to improve this?
I really had no comments because that just spoke for itself right there.
Okay, but here I will tell you, though, a true stupid one. In Kentucky, two men tried to pull off the front of a cash machine by running a chain from the machine to the bumper of their pickup truck.
As done before by other stupid criminals, but proceed.
Okay. Instead of pulling the front panel off the machine, they pulled the bumper off their truck. Scared, they left the scene and drove home. And by the way, the chain was still attached to the machine. And by the way, their bumper was still attached to the chain.
And by the way.
And by the way, their license plate was attached to the bumper. And one last really, really, really stupid one.
Okay.
When Stan Cadell of Hannibal, Missouri, wanted to wash his Chevrolet, he backed the car into about a foot of water in the Mississippi River. When he got out to clean the car, floated away. The police were able to retrieve the vehicle some distance downstream, and according to an officer on the scene, no action was taken against the driver because, and I quote, "You can't ticket a guy for being stupid."
Well, yeah, I mean, that's very true.
Anyway, that's my contribution to stupid.
Oh, jeez. In the almighty words of Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does.
Well, since this is a Christmas show, Travis, what's the best present you ever received?
Oh, geez, that's a good question.
All right, let's expand it and maybe it'll make it easier. It doesn't have to be a Christmas present.
I know.
It's the best gift you ever got.
I really don't know. I really couldn't tell you. I think for me, it's going to have to be a present. And actually, this is a good story to tell you. It's actually kind of a fun story here. When I was 10, I wanted a Game Boy in the worst way. And I got one for Christmas that year. This is how I came about getting it. My brother handed me this big-ass box, okay?
Okay.
I unwrapped it. Opened the box. Here in another box. Opened that one. Another box. Kept on going and going and going and going. Finally got to a small enough box. Pulled out the other thing that was inside of it. It was gift wrapped. And I was a little excited, so I ripped the bitch open. There it was, a Game Boy.
Okay.
That's a funny story. But to answer your question, really, you know, my favorite gift or my favorite thing that's ever happened on Christmas, I really have no answer for that. But I know what I'd want. If actually, it doesn't even need to be a Christmas present.
What's that?
I really wish that this show would be on Sirius Stars. More so than that, I really wish that more people would email the show, you know? I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I'm going to be honest here, guys. I don't get any emails from you, the listeners. I would like to have, like, emails about how the show's going, what do you think of it, and all that stuff. I like to hear things like that. But I haven't gotten any emails from anybody. You know, I've given an email address, which is, and I'm going to give it again, theunradioshow@gmail.com. We have a forum as well, you know, theunradioshow.myfastforum.org. And nobody's really said any words of encouragement. So, in a way, I kind of feel like I haven't really accomplished much this year. But I'd like to see something happen next year where this thing will explode. That would be, like, the greatest gift I'd ever have.
Well, we'll have to work on that.
Yeah. Well, sorry to bring everybody down, but I just had to get that off my chest. But, Terry, I pose the same question to you.
Well, my best gift I ever received is a gift I never received.
And what's that?
Well, I have to tell you a bit of personal information about myself, because in case that you listeners out there don't know, I happen to be a divorcee, a very happily divorced person. And when I first divorced my husband, I actually walked out on him and left him, and I had young children. And to say he was pissed off would be an understatement. In fact, the first several years, my children were not allowed by him to send me birthday, Christmas gifts, anything. Despite the fact that I sent everybody their gifts, including my ex, they were not allowed to send me anything.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were quite small, so they couldn't get anything, they couldn't buy anything. And one year, right before my birthday, I got a letter from my son. It was very sloppily written, you know. He obviously had done the entire address and everything himself. And the letter said that he wanted to send me something for my birthday, but he didn't have any money and his father would not let him have any. So he was sending me, in the envelope, a ring out of a gumball machine. And he hoped that I liked it.
Aww.
I did not have the heart to tell him that somebody had slit the envelope open and stolen the ring out.
Oh, no.
So I lied through my teeth and called my son and told him how much I loved the ring, not even having a clue what it's supposed to look like. So the best gift I ever received in the world is something I never received.
Aww. I'm sorry, Terry.
Oh, it's just a little, you know. It's a nice little story that I'll tell him one day when he's all grown up, you know.
Yeah. How old is he now?
16.
16? Oh, he's getting there.
He was 8 years old when he sent it to me.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that they're able to still stay in contact with you and do stuff.
Yeah, now they can send me gifts and everything because my ex has, you know, gotten over himself, basically, and he actually admits now that we really did need to split up and all that, you know. So now I get gifts from them, and I send them gifts, and they send me birthday cards and all that kind of stuff now, so.
Well, that's good.
Just those first awkward years, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was that. Okay.
I actually did feel a little emotional when I heard that, so. But
I'll tell you what, we can do something a little fun then. How about a top 10 list?
Hey, let's do it right now. Let's get out of the way.
Wait,
let me cue it up.
The Unradio Show presents.
Who is she? She's beautiful.
I'm Terry Strong.
Terry Strong's top 10.
Okay, from the Dave Letterman Show at www.cbs.com/late-night/late-show/top_10. From the home office in whatever the hell it is.
Wahoo, Nebraska.
Nebraska. The top 10 least rented Christmas movies.
This should be good.
Number 10. 'Twas 243 Nights Before Christmas. Number 9. Frosty, the anatomically correct snowman. Number Number 8. Deuce Bistletoe, male mistletoe.
Oh, God.
I can just imagine what it is that hangs from there.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Number 7. The Grinch who sold Christmas on eBay.
Oh, jeez.
Number 6. The Christmas that almost wasn't due to Santa's urinary tract infection. Number 5. Yo ho ho, Dave Letterman's Rappin' Christmas.
Oh, jeez.
Imagine Dave Letterman trying to rap. He's almost got the right kind of grill for it.
Well, you know what? It's almost like saying, it's almost like trying to imagine Conan O'Brien trying to be funny.
Okay, well, moving on. Number 4, Discovery Channel presents Elf Autopsy.
Aww.
Yeah, well, you know. It's sometime. Number 3, let's see what Bing Crosby looks like now.
Okay.
That would be scary. That'd be like The Mummy Returns.
Oh, yeah.
Number 2. Tiny Tim. Big where it counts.
Oh, dude.
That's kind of... Okay. Okay. And the number 1 top 10 least rented Christmas movie, Yentl.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. I don't get it, but all right.
Well, it's... Dave Letterman's got a thing with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Remember, this is the Dave Letterman top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
Unless, yeah, so, yeah. There are top 10 signs also that Santa is mad at you.
Okay.
Got you Knicks season tickets.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because the Knicks aren't doing so good this year.
Well, this is actually from 05, so.
Oh, okay. So they didn't do so good last year.
Yeah. Number 9, he pounds the glass of milk and then your wife. Number 8, Rudolph left your gift on the roof for you.
Oh, jeez.
Number 9, your only gifts this year?
Number 8.
Bits of old... Oh, I'm sorry. Number
8.
Actually, number 8 was Rudolph left you a gift.
Okay, number 7 then.
So number 7, yeah. Your only gifts this year? Bits of old food he found in his beard.
Ew.
Hey, it gets worse. Number 6, instead of Merry Christmas, he tells you, suck it.
Oh.
Number 5, someone has keyed the side of your car with a candy cane.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Number 4, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He posts photos online of you in the tub.
Joke's on him, man. I shower.
Okay. Number 3, he sends his drunk brother Ronnie Kringle instead.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 2, you're the idiot who told the New York transit workers to go on strike.
Oh.
And the number 1 sign that Santa is mad at you, instead of naughty or nice, you are listed as asshole.
Oh, man. I wonder if they let that slip through the censors in that one.
Well, this one was played on December 21st, 2005.
Cool. Alrighty. Okay. Very nice, Terry. Thank you for sharing the lists.
You're welcome.
Sweet. Okay.
Hear me while I eat pizza.
Oh, you have the pizza. How's the... Oh, yeah. What's on the pizza?
Just cheese.
Ooh, old school. I love it. It's my favorite thing in the world is a cheese pizza. Okay. Terry, did you make any New Year's resolutions in 2005?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Aha, you were going to ask me if I broke them.
No, I was just going to ask if you made one for 2006.
I don't do that. Is that setting you set up for failure?
Yeah. Well,
actually, I'm going to, after I told you.
Well, what's it going to be for 2007?
Well, excuse me. I earlier this evening made a wager with somebody.
Okay.
And I have to develop a healthier eating habit. And mind you, as I sit here chowing down on pizza.
That's why I was chuckling.
Well, I have not had anything else since breakfast, so.
Okay, so you deserve some pizza.
Yeah, but if I can actually improve my health in 1 year, I have to. Actually, my health is not terribly bad. My cholesterol, for example, is really good. My blood pressure is actually steadying out. So things on that are good. But in the last year, I've probably put on about 25 pounds. And it's mostly because of stress. When I stress, I overeat. When I'm upset, I overeat. When I'm worried, I overeat. You see a pattern there.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily eat bad things, but I'll snack all day. So what I'm trying to do is cut out the snacking, eat my regular meals, and my biggest thing I'm trying to do is to start eating breakfast, because I don't.
Oh, that's the thing, is I don't really eat breakfast unless I'm absolutely hungry.
Well, you know, people who eat breakfast tend to be healthier.
So I've noticed.
Yes, so I have resolved to eat breakfast. My breakfast used to consist of coffee.
Well, that's for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, it's not healthy, and I'm trying to, you know, I've resolved to try and, like, I've got porridge, and I won't eat instead. So I'm going to try and actually eat breakfast, and if I can accomplish my goals, then some of my friends and family from back home are going to come visit me.
All right, there you go. May I suggest Special K?
Well, I've actually picked up a few boxes of cereal as well. I just happen to love porridge.
I've never had the pleasure.
It's a lot like oatmeal.
Okay.
Anyway. You can buy it in the shops here. You can actually buy Irish porridge.
Oh, sweet.
So it's I'm fond of it. I really am. So.
Cool.
So that's my resolution. I'm going to try and get healthier.
Yeah. I never told you what my resolution was for 2006.
What was it?
You're a part of it.
Move out?
No. What are you doing right now? What are we doing right now?
The podcast.
Exactly.
So your resolution for 06 was to start a podcast?
It sure was.
Well, I guess you accomplished that then.
Yes, it was. And next year, and for 2007, I'm going to. It's going to be one of two things. Actually, it's going to be an either or resolution.
Okay.
I'm going to learn the guitar, or go ahead and just start a band.
If you don't learn the guitar, what are you going to do in the band?
Sing.
You can sing?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I need a song. You know, I can't do it the acapulco. I mean, you know, acapella type stuff. Acapulco.
Why not? Come on, sing.
Oh, jeez.
You're on American Idol. You have to start off singing.
Oh, fuck American Idol. Fuck all the fuckers who like it.
You only say that because you're not on it. Come on now.
Oh, jeez. I think it's a song. Okay. You like
I'm going to be Simon. Come on.
Geez. Okay. You like John Lennon?
Yes, I do.
Me too. Okay. Earlier this year, earlier this month, you know, December. Actually, it's December 8th, which was the 26th anniversary of John Lennon's death. I was only a year old when he was killed. We had a Christmas party at this bar here in town called Manny's. Told everybody about it last week. And I sang Imagine at karaoke, and I sang it pretty good. I had lots of people complimenting about it.
Let's hear it. Come on.
And I'll try to get a couple of lines here, a couple lyrics here. So here we go. Imagine there's no heaven. It isn't hard to do. No hell below us. Or something like that. I really need the lyrics, but I...
Hey, start a little lower.
Wait, actually, I need the lyrics. Holy crap. I love the song, but you know what? The lyrics, I never can actually do it just right.
All right, you pull up the lyrics, and...
All right. Tell you what.
My favorite Beatles song.
I'll do a Beatles song. How about that?
Okay, go ahead.
How about In My Life? That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a better good one. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. There are places I remember.
Lower.
You want me to sing it lower?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
And you're singing out of your throat. Don't sing out of your throat. Sing from your diaphragm. You're talking to a semi-professional musician here, so.
Oh, semi-professional. Okay, someone who is a little more...
Like, come on. No, I want you to... You're singing it off your throat, so you're straining it. I want you to relax.
Okay. I was going to get the...
As I remember all my life, though some are gone, some forever, not for better.
Okay.
Some are gone. No, that's not right.
No, I actually know the song pretty good. And I'm trying to pull up the stinking lyrics. Just a second.
That was a little low, so.
Yeah.
There are places I now that's too high. Remember all my life. Though some have changed, some forever.
Not for the better.
Some are gone and some remain.
My turn.
Oh, these places
have their moments with lovers and friends. I still can recall some are dead and some are living. In my life, I love them all. How's that?
Well, you're still straining. You lose the tune a little bit.
Yeah, because I was trying to keep it with your key, but the song is locked in my head, and I'm trying to stay in the same key as the song itself.
Right, but you strain. You need to learn to sing from your diaphragm.
How do you really
You do have a good tone. You just need to learn to put it in the right spot.
Okay, so I got tone. All right.
But tone, you can carry a tune. I think that's a little too high because you're actually straining at your throat instead of singing it properly.
Okay, so I can carry a tune. That's a plus.
Yes,
right
you
there.
Can carry a tune. You have a good ear, I think. You do have a good tone. You just need to not sing at your throat.
So how do you sing out of your diaphragm, basically?
All right, well, let me show you. If you were to lay in your bed, put your hands on your stomach, when you breathe, your stomach goes up and down.
Right.
If you're sitting up and your stomach stays still and your shoulders are going up and down,
uh-huh.
You're breathing out your chest, and that's not the right way to do it.
Okay.
You're doing the same thing with your singing. You can sing from the upper part of your head, which is the wrong way to do it. It strains your throat. Or you can drop it down and sing naturally. It's like the difference between going... and going ah. All right. Here, do this for me.
Okay.
Pretend you have. I want you to hum for me. Okay, now pretend you have an egg inside your mouth. Keep your lips closed and now hum.
Okay. Let's see if I can try to emulate that with something else here. I'll grab a bag here. I got a little small bag of Oreos, and I'll see what I can do.
I don't want you to put it in your mouth. Just pretend there's an egg in your mouth. Keep
okay.
your lips shut and hum. All right, now. All right, here. This is going to do it, because okay. you're still doing it. All right, open your mouth and just do one note and hold it. Plug your nose and do the same thing. Better.
How's that?
That's better when you plug your nose. You tend to sing up high and it comes out your nose and it sounds all nasally. You got to keep it out of your nose. And you're still singing too high. If you just take a deep breath and let it out like you're sighing, that's where you should be singing.
Okay. All right.
So drop it down there. There are places I remember all my life.
Though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone. And some remain.
That's so much better.
Really?
You have a deep voice. Stop trying to sing like you have a high one.
Okay, I'll do that.
You need to broaden your range. You don't have a very good range, but that comes with practice.
Okay. Class dismissed.
Okay, music lesson over.
Here's my apple, teacher.
Shall I polish your apple?
Ooh, Terry, you can polish my apple any day. Oh,
I'll be Chad.
Yes.
What are you wearing?
Ooh, you know what I'm wearing. It's a button-down white shirt and black jeans. And Terry?
Yes, Travis.
What are you wearing?
I have on a brand new pair of leisure pajamas. The shirt is way too big, so it keeps falling off of one shoulder. And I have nothing on underneath it.
Can I unwrap you?
Only if you use your tongue.
Ooh, I'll use my teeth a little bit because some parts of clothing can be a little stubborn.
Not mine, trust me.
Ooh. Damn. Terry, I fall more and more in love with you with each show, I tell you. Well, that's true. You know, I do.
I'm still looking for Christmassy stuff, because this is supposed to be our Christmassy thing.
I know, but you know what? Here, we already sung a Beatles song, which is okay. You know, I don't think Sir Paul McCartney, he's been knighted some time ago. And Yoko Ono Lennon, I don't think you're going to sue me, because we were just singing a song and you're trying to teach me to sing a little bit. We already shared some Christmas news stories, did some Christmas top 10 lists. And at the beginning of the show, we played some Christmas tunes, you know, some comedy stuff and a little bit of some Twisted Sister. And we got one more Christmas song I'm going to play at the end of the show. And I'll tell you which one it is and how I got about to play it. But we are far from being done with this show.
Well, you know what? In honor of the war that's still going on.
Yes.
And in honor of all the military people who are still over there.
Yes.
I would like to tell everyone a top 10 holiday traditions that were given to us by various men in the military.
Okay. Wait, hang on a second.
Okay.
Bleh. Excuse me, okay.
Okay, number 10, top 10 holiday tradition in the military. Gluing a Santa beard to your gas mask. That comes to us from Private First Class Jason Campbell. Roasting chestnuts with an M4A3 flamethrower. Private First Class Rick Pyers. Draw up a list of who's naughty, who's nice, and who can't run their 2 miles without wheezing like an infant. Specialist Joy Dobson. Number 7. Christmas morning. Getting to sleep in until 5:30. Sergeant Jennifer Dimas. Number 6. You want a PlayStation 2? Fire Tomahawk missiles at Santa's ass.
Oh, jeez.
Specialist Nicole Lavis. Number 5 top 10 holiday tradition. You open a gift and surprise, it's a khaki-colored t-shirt.
Yes!
Sergeant Ryan Hilton. Extra R&R for any personnel named Donner or Blitzen. Sergeant Heather O'Hara.
That was good.
Number 3. There's always plenty of parking at the mall when you're driving a tank. Specialist Sanjeev Dodge.
Okay, hang on a second. Did you hear about this one guy who drove through this Florida mall with his car and he tried to commit suicide? So what he did is he drove his car right beside an escalator and fell right down into the next floor.
No, I did not.
Oh, I'll have to show you the video. Actually, read the next item and I'll bring that list up to you, or that video.
Okay. Well, number 2, watching Frosty and crying my eyes out, Specialist Terry Barnes.
Aw,
yeah. And the number 1 top 10 holiday traditions in the military, freeze-dried, shelf-stable, vacuum-sealed eggnog. By Command Sergeant Major William J. Gainey. Thank you to our people in the military. Salute.
Salute. And come home safe, hon. We're sorry that you're there.
Okay. Now you're going to send me a link.
Yeah. Copy link. Okay. Right. Find your message box. Link. This thing is running slow for some reason. And booga. Okay. And while Terry is looking at that video, I'd like to mention a friend of mine from the MSB podcast, which you can find at msbpodcast.com, Chuck the Canuck, has won the opportunity to have his show played during what's the name of the damn show? I forgot the name of the damn title of the show. Pacific Coast Hellway. He wanted the opportunity to have his show play during the holiday season. He's going to have his show on Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov's Pacific Coast Hellway feed for a day. And he won it by pretty much winning an eBay auction for $510. And that goes towards a special purpose. You see, where this money is going to go to is... Well, let me bring up the website. Oh, jeez. I forgot the name of it. Anyways.
I have a problem.
What's that?
Well, I needed to install a flash player because I had to redo my computer. And now I can't seem to get back to the link now that I've installed it. Hang on. Oh, here I go. Never mind. I'm sorry. Keep going.
It's okay. I'm just bringing up the Pacific Coast Hellways website.
Oh,
because
it still says I need to download and I cannot see this.
Yeah. But anyways, he won this opportunity to have a show played during during the holiday time. And it's going to be pretty cool. So Chuck the Canuck, you know, congratulations on winning a wonderful opportunity. Lord knows I wish I could have... Young radio show played during that time frame, but you know what? It couldn't have gone to a better person. So, Charles, aka Chuck the Canuck, congratulations, my man. And when it comes out, you know, you guys have to go check it out because it's going to be really exciting. I'm really happy. The simplest way to explain where that money is going to, it's going to this one foundation where they get, organ transplants for kids. I can't remember the name of this of this organization or foundation or something like that, where this money is being donated to because of this eBay auction. But I think it's a great thing that Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov came up with, and it's just simply fantastic. And like I said to Charles, a.k.a. Chuck the Canuck, congratulations. Couldn't have gone to a better person. I'm very happy that you have gotten that opportunity, because Lord knows I'd love to do that for a day. Because he's going to be on... he's going to be on Sirius Stars 102 for a day. And that's just fucking great. That's what I'm really excited about. So, you know, I wish I had $512. I probably could have won the auction myself. But you know what? It's cool. I'm happy for him.
Okay, I'm having a terrible time here.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to worry about it, because this isn't...
I have a computer issue. I've been having computer issues for forever, and now it will not install the Flash Player.
Oh, that stinks.
It gives me the install Flash Player file, and when I try to open it, it runs real quick and then disappears and it's gone.
That stinks like a sack of doo-doo.
Yes, it does. So I cannot get to this file you want me to see. I really have been having just major issues with my computer.
God damn you people at Gateway.
Yes, don't anybody ever buy a Gateway computer.
Or a computer from Dell. Get a Mac.
Oh, look, it worked. Now it's going after I said that. I got it working.
Cool. And what do you see? So another one video they're going to play before you see the actual video is an advertisement.
Yeah, I'm getting a commercial first.
For blood donations.
Yeah, I saw that. Now I'm seeing the car crash there.
Yeah.
And the car breaks right through the doors, knocks the doors completely off, stops for a moment, keeps going, knocks the signs down, goes around the trash can, and heads right for the escalators, crashes through, and drops like a rock.
And
they show it crashing upside down, rolls over onto its side.
Lands cleanly on its side, I might add.
Yes, with his taillights still lit. It's nice to see he was driving safely with his lights on.
Oh my god. That is such a sick video. I'm going to post that in the show notes. Jeez. Man, that's just crazy. Then you see people coming up, you know, they're the mall employees just checking out the scene.
Oh yes, here they come.
Yeah.
They're like, I can imagine what they're saying. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was an apparent suicide attempt. So unless you're happening to do a Jackass 3.
And then they play it one more time for us in case we didn't catch it the first two times we seen it.
Yes.
Yeah. And there we go. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh. Wait. Oh, I want to read this. I got something sent to me, and probably I'm the slowest person in the world with this, okay? You probably all seen this 600 times, and I'm just, you know, that slow on the upsweep. And I'm not being at all joking there. It's quite serious.
Okay.
I got to get it out of my mail because I think I saved it. And it's a shame I didn't have this when we were talking about 9/11, because I'm going to subject everyone to another 9/11 story.
Okay.
About the dog. Did you save that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, let me see if I saved it. Yes, I did. Here it is. Now, this is a true story.
True story. Sorry.
James Crane worked on the 101st tower floor of Tower 1 at the World Trade Center. He's blind. He has a golden retriever named Daisy. After the plane hit 20 stories below James Crane, James knew he was doomed, so he let Daisy go out of an act of love, and she ran away into the darkened hallway. choking on the fumes of jet fuel and the smoke, James was just waiting there to die. But suddenly, well, suddenly being about 30 minutes later, Daisy came back along with James's boss. Daisy had gone up to the 112th floor and got James's boss and brought him to James.
Wow.
So on her first run of the building, she leads James, James's boss, and 300 more people out of the building. They can't see because of the smoke and the fumes, but she's down on the ground, so she leads them out. But she wasn't through then. She knew that there was others inside. So even though James tried to keep her out, she ran back into the building. On the second trip out, she was leading 392 people. And again, she went back in.
Oh my God.
While she's in the third time, the building collapses.
Oh no.
James hears about this and he falls on his knees, bursting into tears. But Daisy made it out alive, carried by a firefighter.
Oh my God.
She led us right to the people before she got injured, the fireman explained. Her final run had saved another 273 people.
Wow.
She had suffered acute smoke inhalation, severe burns on all four paws, and she broke a leg. But she saved 967 lives.
That's amazing.
Daisy is the first civilian canine to win the Medal of Honor in New York City.
That's a great story. That's fantastic.
I know this is not a Christmas story, but it's kind of a Christmassy story.
It's a story of hope.
That's right. So I just thought that was really awesome. Here were all these people just ready to die because they were above the airplane and they're let out by a dog. So you never know where your help's going to come from, do you?
It's a friggin' miracle is what it is.
I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Terry. That's just...
Like I said, I'm sure some people have heard that story before because it is a 9/11 story, but... It's worth repeating again if you've heard it before.
Don't mind the cat. He just knocked something over. So.
Oh, he got jealous because we're talking about dogs.
Especially life-saving dogs. I mean, nearly 1,000 people. That's incredible. Jeez. All right. Well, you have anything else that we should share, Terry?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Well, before we get out of here, just want to make a final announcement. What you're listening to is the last episode of our first season, our first year of the On Radio Show. Yeah, we did good. We did a fantastic job this year. We've talked to a lot of great people. We've had a lot of people on the show. Had some great.
We've had good shows. We've had not so good shows.
Yeah,
it's all a learning curve.
Exactly. You know, this is, you know, basically our first year, and for a lot of people who are doing a podcast in their first year, it's very educational to get to learn new things and, you know, see what works and see what doesn't work and all that stuff. It's like Legos, you know, it's constantly building to make something, you know, incredible. It's a building.
Yeah, and
process.
Sometimes you find out you screw something up in the beginning and you got to tear apart and rebuild, but you know.
Yeah.
Diligent and it pays off.
Yeah, and like I said, you just find out what works and what doesn't work. It's a gradual process. It's an evolution.
That's right.
And like I said, we've had a lot of great people on this year. We've had Madge Weinstein. We've had Kappa Victoria Wood and Biz Urban from Shadow Falls. We've had Rumor Girls on here a couple times. We had Karen from Rumor Girls on here twice. Like, we would love to have the Rumor Girls and Franklin McMahon back on the show in the future. Because, as everybody knows, episode 14 is no longer available as of this recording because, well, Podomatic.com only holds like 2 gigs of storage before you have to start deleting space. I might move over to Libsyn in the next year. I'm not sure yet. I still have some thinking to do. But, anyways, I digress.
We've had a lot of not potty people on.
Yeah.
Well, me for one. I'm not a podcast person, really. Yeah. We've had Richard from New York.
Yes.
We had my girlfriend Jeannie.
She was on a couple times.
Yeah, we had Martin, a friend of mine from Bristol, England. He's all right for a limey. I told him that tonight.
Yeah.
Who else have we had on? We had Tim on a couple times.
Yes, we did. We've had some pretty cool people who've been on the show for quite a few episodes, and then all of a sudden they don't, you know, they're not on the show anymore. We've had Ken Wells of It's All About Martin and Me. He's no longer on the Young Radio Show, and we really miss him. And we also miss Marta Montgomery, who's, well, part of It's All About Martin and Me. That's the name, you know, it's named after her. We really miss Marta. I mean, I'm not sure if she's stepped out of doing the Young Radio Show completely. I know that she's very busy with the Rose City Rollers. And her place of employment, and more importantly, with her family. And her computer's been pretty much fucked. So, but, you know, we miss Marty. We want her back on the show. Brian was really cool. He does a show occasionally, but he still has his podcast, The Out of Order Show, which you can find at OOOShow.com. Had Andrea on here a couple times. She was the original co-host.
And we had Jen on here.
Yeah, Jen. She's been on here.
Oh, and Darian.
Oh, a.k.a. Achilles. Yeah, he was so cool. We even had DJ G on here a few times, and it's always a party with DJ G, and Terry would know.
Hi, DJ!
Oh, man.
Yeah. Kissy, kissy.
We've had a lot of great times in the show in this first year, ladies and gentlemen. And we really... What's that?
I'm just afraid we might have just missed somebody out and they'll feel bad.
Well, if you've been on the Unradio show and you're listening, you know, we might have forgotten your name, but you know who you are and we thank you anyway. And we would like to thank you, the listeners, for listening to the Unradio show in this first year. I mean, if it wasn't for you, this show would not exist today. All
right. Right, and I want fan mail, so write for I come and kick your ass.
Yeah, we really want some fan mail, people. I mean, email us at theunradioshow@gmail.com. Give us good feedback, bad feedback if you have to, or just saying, hey, what's up? Just give us something, okay? Throw us a freaking bone here.
And tell Travis if it's for me to send it to me, because he doesn't.
Yeah. You know, we just need to know how we're doing here and seeing what you guys would like to hear in season two, which actually will come out the second week of January of 2007. So we will be back then, because in the next 2 weeks, as previously stated, we're going to have something called Worst Misses, and it's going to be a two-part Greatest Hits type episode. First one comes out on Christmas Day, and the following part will come out on New Year's Day. So you'll still get your Unradio fix, especially for those who are just now tuning in, or excuse me, untuning in for the first time, and might have missed a few things. So it's gonna be pretty cool. We're going to have just bits from previous shows and some songs we played on the first season of the show. So it's going to be pretty cool. So definitely check that out. But, yeah, we've had a lot of fun this year, and we want to continue to have that fun. So we will be back the second week of January 2007. Let's see what date that would be. Let me pull that up here for a second.
Oh, yeah, because you know what? My school is going to start interfering.
Yeah, but you said you'll still send us something.
Well, and depending on the homework load, it's possible if you get it right. Yeah. Right night of the week for recording as well, then.
Yeah. Well, that's not right. Oh, I see. It has to be 2007. Okay. Yeah. The Unradio Show will return with the first episode of Season 2 on January 8th, 2007. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to bringing out more content with you guys. It's going to be really cool. You guys. Okay. Was just checking the date and time there, because Terry accidentally, I lost Terry temporarily, but she's back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Okay. But anyways, yeah. We are going to be taking a break here for a couple weeks, try to recuperate and more or less to spend time with our family and friends for the next couple weeks, you know, because, well, it's the holidays. And what better way to end this episode for this season with something I got from the PodSafe Music Network. So we are going to go ahead right now and kill this thing while it's still alive and twitching. And as we leave you guys for 2006, we have a song here from, like I said, the PodSafe Music Network. And it's a song called If Every Day... Wait, hang on a second. What's the name of it? If Every Day Were Christmas. And this is from PodSafe for Peace. I bought this song because all proceeds go to UNICEF. And that helps all the needy kids and families out there. And especially for a time like this where... some families don't have the money to go out there and buy presents for their children or whatnot. UNICEF really does what they can to help all those who are in need. So it's a very good organization. So the proceeds for this single that I just purchased goes to UNICEF. So if you want to make a donation, go to UNICEF's homepage. Let me bring that up. I should have done that before I started recording. But it's a wonderful song, and I think it's... It actually says a lot about what, well, it just says a lot. But I'm just trying to get through this pretty, you know, quickly because I know we're running out of space here. Okay, go to unicef.org, okay, and donate generously. And if you want to buy the song, If Every Day Were Christmas, go to music.podshow.com. And look it up, you know, PodSafe for Peace, and that features a lot of PodSafe artists singing the song. And one of the singers is Patricia Pye, and we all know that that is Adam Curry's darling wife. And she's a pretty foxy lady. But anyways, we're going to go ahead and cue that song up right now. And we are going to go ahead and leave you guys for 2006, and we'll see you in 2007. Terry, it's been a pleasure talking to you in this first year, and I'd like to hear more about you in 2007.
All right. Thanks a lot, Travis. I've enjoyed it very much.
Yes, and you know what? I want you to have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and... wait, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. I thought I heard something from my earbuds. And we would love to wish all our listeners out there a Merry Christmas... Happy Hanukkah, and a joyous Kwanzaa, and a Happy New Year. Until you hear from us all again in 2007, please, by all means, stay on tune.
First winter snow outside my window. Feels like that time again to me. The mistletoe, a Christmas show. And the lighting of that famous Christmas tree, yeah. People are shopping for their loved ones and making plans for a Christmas feast. But it all goes by in the blink of an eye. And then we have to wait another.
The music provided for this episode came from PodSafe Music Network and PodSafeAudio.com.